Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West. Episode 57.
Yeah.
I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me, as always, is...
Pat.
And Cat in Hat.
Yay.
Yay. I have a hat today, too.
But not
I don't
currently.
Right now. No.
You have to let your beautiful locks flow.
They are quite bouncy.
Yeah. They are. Good volume.
Thank you. Yes, I actually did not use my volumizing mousse today. Or else it would not have been in a hat. But it was early, so hat seemed like a good decision.
They always are a good decision.
Thanks,
you have great hair, though, too, so that's...
I know I do. Amy reminds me of it every day. She's like, you have such great hair.
That's awesome.
I'm the one out of all of us that should be wearing a hat.
But you got a Bill Murray thing going on right now, so it's kind of cool. Like, it just works.
What do you mean a Bill Murray
thing? Like, you look straight at a Ghostbusters. Like, you would, like, flapped it forward and was like, yep. I'm good. I'm gonna go hunt some fucking ghosts.
I've been washed up. Constantly. Been washed up since day one.
He's a successful professor in that movie, so don't.
Fair enough.
Professors don't have time to do hair.
True.
Alright. Well, we've got some just random stuff today, but we're gonna go with the top of the stack right away. I'm gonna lead us off with Batman Universe number 6, written by Brian Michael Bendis with art by Nick Darrington. This was the culmination of what was the DC Walmart Giants. It turns out that if you combine my favorite things, which are cosmic stories, with Batman, I'm totally in. Like, it just works for me. Great ending, great reminder of Batman's place in the universe.
Still salty that they came out with all three in 1 week.
Yeah, that is kind of rough. They came out with a comeback, Wonder Woman Comeback to Me, Superman Up in the Sky,
which
and
is
Batman
Amanda
Universe.
Connor for Wonder Woman, and then you got Tom King for Superman, because they switched.
And Bendis on Batman.
Uh-huh. Tag team. I imagine it like a wrestling match, Tom King just slaps her hand, she comes in.
There are some sequences, too, that Nick Darrington does where, like, their action scenes are, like, chase sequences where they like literally are following multiple versions of the characters like as they go through rooms. It's just so
incredible. Are you talking about the fifth one?
Well, they keep doing things
really?
Like that's you know, like a trope that, because he did one in I think issue 3 or 2 where he does the Gorilla City jumps, and that one's incredible.
Like,
so yeah,
it feels 60-ish and modern all at the same time with Batman.
Oh, nice.
It's really cool.
I really just want him on a Batman book permanently. Like, I know
Mendes,
that... Darrington.
Oh, Darrington.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's one of the best Batman artists we've had in years.
Great.
Definitely better than the regular artist that Tom King has. Nothing against him, but I think Darrington is just a better storyteller. Mikhail Janine.
So I don't mind it, but his is better, I'll admit it.
Has an animated style, which I always think works for Batman.
Nice. Yeah. Wow, you like animation, Matt?
It's weird. Yeah, I just figured that out. So I went to school for it, but now I realize I do like this stuff.
Yeah. You're looking back and I'm like, oh man, I shouldn't have slept through all my classes.
I could have learned something.
Could have actually graduated with a 3.7.
Anyway, what do you have for us, Kat?
So I picked up the Supergirl Annual number 2. And it's by Robert Venditti and then Laura Braga, right? I don't know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's maybe because I just don't like Supergirl as, like, and I'm pretty sure it's a younger version of her, too, so that might just be why, but I'm not so keen on the art for this, and I'm kind of sad because if this is the new writer for Supergirl, I'm a little upset.
I mean, the annuals don't always necessarily tie in.
Yeah, and that's kind of the other part of it. But yeah, this is basically just Supergirl after she changes into her Supergirl Who Laughs, which is equally terrifying.
Great suit.
Right? It's so cool looking. And then you see her face, and you're like, oh, God.
Yeah. But looks like she's at a Kiss concert.
This is very true. Yeah, you should see the actual one in, like, the book. She does look like she's, like, from a Kiss concert. Because, like, on her side, she's got, like, the little pointed studs.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
But I'm curious to see where this is going to go because she's been infected with the Batman Who Laughs Batarang. And she's now, quote-unquote, evil. But in reality, it's just him manipulating them to the point of... life sucks. You don't care about this stuff. Let it all go. This is what makes you a good person. Do you like being a good person? No, you don't. It's terrible.
That's actually really interesting.
Yeah, that's what this one was about, is basically, like, her reliving her last day on Krypton and how great it was. And he's like, all that pain and stuff, aren't you sad about it? Why do you want to be sad? Go have a nice time. And I'm like, Jesus.
Wow. That is far more intriguing than what I guess I assumed these stories would be.
No, it's definitely, yeah, because, like, you see him pop up in her head, and he's talking to her and manipulating her and saying, aren't you sad?
You know what? I think that's my own personal bias, is I keep forgetting that the Batman Who Laughs, the first part of that name, is the Batman.
Yeah.
It's still Bruce somewhere underneath there, who is a manipulative being and who will use things against you.
Oh, yeah. I think this rendition of whoever drew her in this, I don't really care for, because they made her eyes just, like, pure black, and I'm like, nah. I don't know if I want to go that. And then she has elf ears for some reason. I'm like, eh.
But, I mean, why not?
Eh.
If you're going to take the swing, make it.
Yeah, right. You just go haywire.
Go ham.
It wasn't my favorite one, and I'm sad that it's not Mark. I'm hoping Mark and Draco comes back, but we'll see. I'm curious to see what they're up to with her, because it looks like they're going to keep going either. I don't know if it's going to be solo or they're going to group setting, because you also have Donna Troy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I feel like I like the art style. I'm just looking at it, but I don't think it really fits that much well for Supergirl.
Not for her right now.
Yeah, and especially evil Supergirl.
Seeing, like, the other half of it is, too, is, like, I like how Superman looks, but I'm not digging how she looks, and it's because if you read Batman Superman 4, she looks a lot more terrifying. It's like, I do not want to meet you in a dark alley at all. What's up? Mm-mm.
You know my feeling on art. The proportions look too realistic to me, so I'm done.
if it looks too realistic, this design I don't necessarily care for. She looks like a goblin. I don't know if I want Goblin Supergirl.
Batman.
Yeah.
Patrick's turn.
Fair enough. I had a different top for this deck earlier, but then I was flipping through and I realized I only read half of it, and then, like, forgot to get to it. Yeah, so... So my real top of the stack, I guess, that I actually read all of it was Gwenpool Strikes Back #4. Yay. This is, I gotta find the title page here, written by Leah Williams. Christopher Hastings makes an appearance as well.
Which is vitally important.
Art by David Baldeon and color by Jesus Abertov. Yeah. Anywho. I just have to mention the art in this, because there's a part where it gets, like, really technical art-wise.
Okay.
Because she's fighting the Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
And to defeat the Hulk, she pulls in, what is it? Five other versions of herself from different iterations.
Okay. Of
comics, and they're all illustrated in the way that they appear. In
I
those
have to see
iterations.
This.
Yep.
So they give them,
oh my god,
like,
so we've
names
got like.
Too. Yeah, we
wow.
have the so, Champions one, the one.
Which is
from
definitely looking like Ramos's art
the
style.
Unbelievable Gwenpool run, her appearances in Rocket Raccoon,
well, they also
Ultimate
did...
Spider Man, and.
Oh my god, and Champions.
Superior West Coast
West
Avengers.
West Coast Avengers, that was the last one,
Hot
yeah.
Dog Ho.
So, and it's really cool because they're all, yeah, like I said, they're all drawn as if there were the other artist's style. So much so I had to go back to the title page again to see if, like, they had those artists mm-hmm. as guests on there. But no, that's just a...
Complete side conversation would be, which style do you like the most?
Yeah, exactly. I know, right? It was really funny, though, and they keep referring to the one from Unbelievable Gwenpool as the marshmallow one. I'm just reading Aww. It with, like, Yukio from Deadpool, who
yeah.
Like, that actress. Hi! Hi,
Wade.
Yeah, so it's great. And she uses one of my favorite of her power sets in this, which is to retcon herself in the comic, which is always really confusing because you're reading it and you're like, what's happening? And then later on, she's like, oh, this is me retconning myself. So to get all of the crystals, she gave herself all of the crystals so she'll have them and then can give them back to herself, which pretty OG. And then they end up actually kind of defeating the Hulk via, like, page flipping abilities.
Harley Quinn.
Yeah, Harley Quinn. I forgot that. Like, okay, calm down, Harley Quinn.
They mentioned Grant Morrison. This isn't Grant Morrison.
Yeah, and at one point she mentions Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne, and yeah. I'm like, how are they not getting their ass sued?
It's gotta be parody law.
It has to be, because, like, that's definitely a DC specific property, and they're very loving over this.
And, like, half the time I'm
this.
Like, is Grant Morrison a DC specific property?
Is Grant Morrison a DC specific property?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, this Gwenpool books, when she has her powers, are, like, some of the most technically, like, awesome illustrations. And then, yeah, it looks like the next issue is the last one, and she's gonna face down the final boss, Miss Marvel.
Oh, nice.
Then also one other thing I really loved about this, they have the solicit for the last issue, and the main cover is a cosplayer.
Yeah, I was actually, I'm
is
really
like
curious.
Really cool.
I'm curious who that is.
They had the, I think they had her name in the, in it, but I might be mistaken. But she looks exactly like goddamn Gwen. Like, if they make a Gwenpool movie, which, Marvel, I have a great pitch for you for a Gwenpool movie, I would support whoever she is to be the character.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so great book so far.
I just enjoy the, well, you know, she comes from the real world, but I wrote her parents, so, you know, you do with that what you will.
Yeah, Christopher Hastings is in there on page 2, like, hey, it's me again, you remember me from earlier? Nobody got my joke about the fact that her dad's name is Ted Poole.
That's amazing.
What was her mom's name, too? It was
Martha. And that's how the thing came up.
That's why it came up. And he's like, nobody got those jokes, and I'm really sad because I spent all that time.
That's pretty awesome.
So, yeah, great, amazing book so far. If this doesn't cement her spot in the Marvel Universe, then I don't know what will.
Maybe that's the movie they should make for the third Deadpool film, is Deadpool meets Gwenpool. It would be an amazing movie.
I want the... Okay, my pitch for Gwenpool...
No. That's not... Well, we're blacking it out.
Fair enough. All right, I won't get into it.
We've heard a little bit of it, and I think it's great. Don't give that shit for free.
Yeah, Marvel, it's an amazing pitch, and trust me, you'd make $1 billion. That's all I'll say. Anywho.
Awesome.
Cool. Well,
it's trailer time.
Trailer
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where should we start? Bad or good? Meh or good?
Let's do a compliment sandwich.
Okay.
The compliment sandwich. I'm gonna go ahead and lead us off right with the Crisis on Infinite Earths, because I thought that was pretty cool. Like, I don't understand the marketing in general, because we're seeing a lot of Brandon Routh marketing, and he's not in the trailer, so, yeah. Patrick has teeth.
Yeah, so you said compliment sandwich, and I was like, oh, is the bread the bad one? Because maybe it's just because I don't care about, like, literally any of the CW shows except for Black Lightning,
mm-hmm.
and he's only in there for, like, 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And so I cared about the trailer for approximately 3 seconds.
Okay.
And...
Very good. I don't watch any of the shows. They're pretty,
I have been enjoying Supergirl and Flash. Thank you.
Supergirl was one of the few that I, like, kind of stayed with for most of the time.
Well, yeah. Was it the season before? I don't know what season they're in for her. I don't know.
For Supergirl, I think we're only on season 4, if even.
Now I have to look.
Yeah.
I feel...
Might be season 3.
No, it's not 3. I know it's not 3.
Both Flash,
like,
and Arrow, I stopped watching halfway through episodes, respectively. I'm just, like, right in the middle. Like,
I should have stopped
this?
Watching Arrow after halfway through season 3.
I specifically remember the Arrow I stopped watching was the one with
Cupid. Yeah, it's
Cupid.
5. We're 5.
We're on season 5 of Supergirl?
Yes.
What?
Lord.
Yeah, seriously.
Yep.
Oh.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
I like being right.
Cool.
Anyways. I've been watching this. Season 4 was terrible. Season 5 is pretty, so far it's been pretty good. It's interesting. season 6 of Flash, I've been enjoying. I think it's funny. And then, I mean, as of for Crisis of Infinite Earths, honestly, they missed the mark because they're making Arrow do all the cosmic stuff in different universes and not Barry Allen, and I'm like, what are you doing? This is wrong.
To me, the trailer made it look like it was heckling Superman that was going to the different universes.
It looks like, from what I can see and what I've watched, it's going to be they're pulling them and shooting them to different universes to talk to people to pull them in.
Interesting.
So, for me, it's not... I mean, I don't know. I'm going to watch it either way. I can tell you right now, I probably will be salty the entire time whenever Batwoman shows up, but that's just because I'm so agitated with that show. But, I mean, I'm interested. I'm kind of excited because you've got what's his name is Batman.
Kevin Conroy as Bruce Wayne.
And you finally hear him talk as Bruce Wayne coming down the stairs, and I'm like, this is weird.
I hope they put him in the Kingdom Come armor, because he's definitely wearing, like, he's wearing the Bruce Wayne robot suit, the Darth Vader suit. But whether or not he'll actually make it into the full armor and be Batman.
And then they brought back Smallville dude, which I'm interested. I've never actually seen all of Smallville. And then...
Big theory is that he gets the call to action and doesn't answer the call. Ooh. And that's what leads us to potentially Kingdom Come Superman in...
Which I'm really interested to see.
Yeah.
Him play. I'm curious.
Apparently the entire, set was just in awe of him. Like, the way he carried himself in that suit was, like, that people were just kind of, like... jaw on the floor, like, we're in the presence of Superman, and, like, stopped doing what they were doing, and we're just like, yeah, he's... Superman's here.
I still enjoy his... Oh, you look like my cousin.
Yeah, that was super funny.
Sorry. Sorry, Patrick, too much.
No, it's fine. I'm glad that you guys are glad about it. I wish I was, too. Or, you know,
I mean, I still watch... I was still watching Riverdale, and then I started watching Nancy Drew as well, so... No.
Well, and I'm not watching any of the CW shows. I'm just going to watch the crossover, because, whatever.
Honestly, all it really makes me want to do is read the actual Crisis of Infinite Earths.
Well, I definitely don't like doing the comparisons, because
I'm not doing the it's not even necessarily the comparisons. I just actually want to see what DC did originally. That's it. I don't
Source
care.
Material.
I would not compare that. Have you seen, they did a picture of the dude who's playing, the monitor, and he's reading the actual Crisis of Infinite. He's got the Crisis of Infinite Earths book in his hand.
That's amazing.
It's pretty funny. He's like, he's studying up, and I was like,
he's a cool actor.
Yeah, he does really good. Actually.
What do you want to talk about next?
I don't know. I guess if we're gonna do mass stuff in the middle, Black Widow.
Well, we already apparently screwed up the meh, because Black Widow is the,
All right, well, more meh.
More meh.
My meh.
More like a trailer, like, curry, then. You got some bland rice on the bottom and some delicious sauce on top.
And then eventually the sauce and the rice will mix to be a glorious meal.
Exactly.
I'm not a huge fan of curry.
Different conversation. Black Widow was a trailer for a Marvel movie that...
If they did this 6 years ago, I'd probably care more.
Yeah. I don't think the CG would look as good.
True. Yeah. I think, in my opinion, the movie really should be called David Harbour as a Superhero of the Movie.
Yeah.
Because that was his character was the only, like, real good part of the whole thing.
I think Scarlett Johansson is always good in anything and everything.
Yeah.
But...
other than the soundtrack of the trailer.
Yeah, I do.
Those are the two good parts of the trailer.
They should have done this movie a long time ago, and I just don't care now. She's dead, so what is the point of this movie?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that the...
Just because people needed it.
Well, I think that's the big X factor. Is there something in there that's going to be, like, a revelation that we have not picked up on? That's something that is going to change the Marvel movies going forward, because it was a piece of history that changes the future. And that can very well be in there, and that's something that you don't want to put in a trailer. You want people to see that in the theaters.
I mean, it's a Scarlett Johansson movie. We all know where my ass is going to be.
Right.
I just... the other part of it is, too, is they're, like, they're making it about her family, and I'm like, I want to do Black Widow movie about Black Widow.
But it's an exploration of the Red Room, and I think that that's an important, like, if... Because she doesn't know her family.
Because that's the other part of it, is that Red Room came up in what?
Age of Ultron.
Okay. Why didn't we do it then? This is the other half of the point, is that if we did this movie 6 years ago, I'd probably be a lot more interested. Yeah.
Yes. I think everybody is in total agreement on that.
And then, you know, that's the... The thing about it is, is this a movie that was going to push the overall MCU forward 6 years ago, or was it a movie that's about Black Widow? Because that was definitely the prevailing ideas, was all the movies pushed the overall narrative forward, not necessarily the narrative of individual characters.
True.
It wasn't until later into season, or the season three. Wow! Maybe they should be on TV, right?
Yeah, I was like, where are you?
In
Disney Plus in a year.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, and also is totally such a minor detail in it. It one of my least favorite superhero tropes is like them fighting each other when they first meet, and like this one has the most unnecessarily gratuitous like meet up fight scene
between the two Black Widows.
Yeah, between the two Black Widows, like they like just fight each other for.
Here's the other half.
Like, oh, hey sister, how's it going? She's like, oh, hi sister. Like, what?
I think we kind of for those who don't know Black Widow, it's there. I don't think they know there's two.
There's like eight.
I know there's a ton of them. Yeah, I'm just saying they don't realize that there is more than one. Is she blonde, by the way?
Yeah.
Is she? Okay, I don't remember. Yelena, see how much I care.
Yelena, though, like, there's actually a cover that's basically that fight scene.
Hmm?
In the guys by J.G. Jones, I believe.
I mean, I might go back and read some Black Widow comics because I actually do like her as a character. It's
and that's the Marvel Knights run. If people are interested in that character of Yelena Belova, I'm probably butchering that.
Probably
there might be an extra syllable somewhere that I'm missing.
It's Russian, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. For me, it's kind of one of those things of. People asked for this movie years ago, and then DC's like, yeah, here's a Wonder Woman movie, and everybody's like, well, what the fuck, Marvel?
Yeah. I really hated that tit-for-tat thing when Wonder Woman came out, and then Black Panther came out, and they're like, we're more diverse. No, we're more diverse.
I think that's a narrative.
Just make a goddamn good movie.
I think that's a narrative created by... fans, not by the people making the movies.
And I'm just running down the street.
I don't think Ryan Coogler and Patty Jenkins have any beef at all.
Yeah,
I'm just
exactly.
Like running down the street with my little flag. They made the first superhero girls movie that was the bestest.
I think that was important. I think both of those movies are important.
They are.
I don't want to diminish that, but I think the narrative of the like competing studios is to completely fictional, created by the fans.
Interesting. I would highly support that theory, but
yeah. But still, there's more trailers to talk about.
Yay!
So from one spy movie that was very meh to a spy movie that looks really exciting, in my opinion, James Bond, or is it, I think it's just called No Time to Die.
There's a 007, I think, at the bottom.
I don't know if it, like, it has, like, James Bond in No Time to Die, or if it's literally
sure
just called No Time to Die.
I'm pretty sure there's no James Bond, but I know a 007 pops up.
Either way, from the James Bond franchise presents No Time to
Die.
No
Time to Die.
Yes, which, I've been a lifelong James Bond fan, and this looks incredible.
Yeah.
There's been a couple hiccups in the Daniel Craig run, but I think this, like, looks really cool.
I've heard Quantum of Solace is not well-loved, but I've seen it once, because I cannot find it anywhere other than people owning it. Like, I can't find it on streaming.
It was alright.
I remember liking it in theaters. I'm not a huge Skyfall person. Please don't come at me on that one. I just
I liked Skyfall, so. Actually.
And then I haven't seen Spectre. That he's only done four, right? The fifth one would be this, which
and then
I mean only
Spectre was also meh.
Okay.
I think, but
Kat, your opinion of James Bond?
You keep like whacking things where you're like, it's so great, and I'm like, I don't care about spy movies. I don't know how quietly or whatever that was heard, but. It's not, it's like one of those things of, because I have so much less time now, things that end up out of my wheelhouse, I care even less about.
Yeah. I'm really excited about the cast, though, with Ana de Armas and, oh my god, and I feel really bad, Lashana Lynch, Maria Rambeau from Captain Marvel.
Oh, nice.
And rumors she is actually 007, not him.
Yeah, because or she says she's a 00 agent, or somebody says that she's a 00.
Are you a 00? And she says, yep.
But doesn't give, but not the number.
Right, and that's the big rumor, is that since he left, she is 007.
It looks like they're kind of leaning a little bit into the more cartoony realms that action films are kind of going in. I was getting like a slight Fast and Furious
vibe from it. Well, and hold on. I want to, before you go deeper into this conversation, I think they're leaning more into the older Bond franchise more than they're leaning into what
Well, James Bond did essentially establish that in the genre, in like the action genre, as like the over the top, like physics. The physics of this can never happen, like, you know, especially his fights with like Jaws and stuff.
Ironically enough, Casino Royale brought in the era of action movies where we were looking at realistic physics and a hero that didn't necessarily look like a muscle bound brute and was much more of a like smart and using tactics, so it is makes a lot of sense to go full circle.
Yeah,
I would take Dwayne Johnson every single day in those Fast and Furious movies, because I purposely watched those movies just to see how much more ridiculous it got. And when he broke off a Gatling gun off a helicopter to blow up a car, I was in.
I saw Hobbs and Shaw 2 weeks ago, actually, and it is hilarious. I was like, I walked in and my roommates were watching. I was like, cool, I'll sit down. And I'm just like laughing the whole time. I'm like, shut up, Patrick. I'm like, but they have like a tow truck attached to a helicopter, and another tow truck attaches to that tow truck, and there's 5 tow trucks all attached to this helicopter trying not to be pulled off a cliff. How is that not hilarious?
That's awesome.
Which is literally a scene, by the way.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, but I think it looks amazing. There's a couple, like, specific shot sequences in there where I'm just like, this is good. This is just, like, good, well-filmed.
Right, well-shot action.
Well-shot, yeah.
I guess the other part of me is just, like, I don't know, I'm not usually one for, like, well, she's like, oh, I'm 007 now. I'm like, can't you be, like, M Junior or something? Like, you're gonna be, they're grooming you to be M, so they put you in the field? I don't know.
I mean, M was a 00, I think, before she...
I know
became...
she was a 00, but I don't know which one.
Well, why not? I mean...
I'd rather have an M film.
Well, because there's only, like, a set amount, I think, or something like that. Like, there's less...
Well, I mean, 0010 makes no sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't know. They're still the 00s. They're just in weird spots.
Yeah, no, I think there is only 9 of them. Yeah, so, like, when one, like, drops out, like, they get one to replace him, and they just take up that number, essentially. You know, and he does, and they have the whole him, you know, on the desert island, like, away, like, and the whole, like, we need you for, you know, one more job or whatever. I love
honestly,
it.
Honestly, I'd be laughing my ass off if they're just like, this is actually 00M, and you're like, what?
What? Yeah. That would actually be hilarious.
So
wait, what is, what's Voldemort's, is he M right now? Is that his code?
What?
Who?
Ray Fiennes. I can't think of the actor's name. There you go.
Oh, man.
Voldemort, all right. Yeah. Almost.
He's totally Voldemort. It's the actor who plays Voldemort is now the one who runs the full organization, MI6.
I don't know, yeah.
Is it MI6? Now I'm confusing that. And
it is MI6. Because that's the whole thing, because there's only 5 branches of the British government. Or the British military.
Oh.
And they're like, yeah, of course.
Never picked that up on that.
Yeah, I think they say it like once or twice in the franchise. I can't remember when, but how have we not mentioned Rami Malek's
character
yet, by the way?
Like, yeah.
That's
the Phantom of the Opera villain.
Yeah, that's going to be, if I don't see a few of those next Halloween, I'm going to be really surprised.
If I don't see some memes of him playing the piano, I'm going to be surprised.
The Phantom of James Bond. So, yeah.
Cool. We got one more.
Yeah, most exciting of them all.
Yeah, in my opinion, absolutely. Move
we'll
on.
We'll bring excitement to us. We'll bring... yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you for doing a fantasy, Asian cinema movie and not a live action version of the animated film.
It's a kung fu movie.
Yeah.
Which I've been saying from the beginning, if they lean into the genre, then I don't need all the music. People are like, ugh, there's no music in it. I'm like, yeah, but if they're going to have, like, people flying through the air a la House of Flying Daggers.
Yeah.
And they do in the trailer. There's guys, like, jumping from horses, running up walls and stuff. And I love that. Kung fu movies are great.
I think it looks amazing. I think the fact that the songs are going to be part of the score as opposed to being things that are sung.
So good.
Yeah. Kat?
I don't care. Still don't care.
What?
It's just one of those things is it's another thing that it's just I don't care about kung fu movies either.
I guess like this like I was like this is when I watched the trailer my first thought was like Kat's going to be into this. This is not the just straight remake that
she's been playing that they're doing. There'd just be a shit ton of salt. This is just kind of one of those things where it's like you're out of my wheelhouse. I'm not upset, but you're out of my wheelhouse.
Do you think the trailer was good?
For what it was, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it was bad by any means. Yeah, if they just did a shot-for-shot remake, I'd be like, if Eddie Murphy's not in this, you're missing an opportunity.
Mushu's not in it at all.
I know, and that's kind of the other part of it, too, is I kind of would have liked to see, like, I think it's supposed to be a phoenix is my assumption, because we saw a phoenix.
Yeah.
Phoenix are, like, one of the least favorite, like, mythical creatures, too, so I'm like...
Yeah, what? Yeah. Okay. I'm like, that was the hill I will fucking die on now. It's like,
here's the other half of that movie. You can hate the
but a phoenix! No!
I don't like birds, period. What? I just don't
I'm afraid of birds, but that's
I mean, that's a fair statement.
Death from above, man.
I
respect them. But, yeah, no. I think, yeah, I assume the phoenix is going to take Mushu's place. Like,
well, he mentions it.
I don't think there's going to be a female companion. I think, like, I think we will see it as an audience reference, as, like, a symbol of hope that she sees. Like, something that can... I don't think they're going to do the animal companion route. I think it'll be a symbol in the movie more than it will be
that's the other half, is I think they will, but it won't be as, like... It's not like it'll follow her around, kind of like Mushu did. It'll be a... in and out kind of deal.
Right, it'll be a symbol. Times. Like it'll be a symbol for her moving forward.
I wasn't even thinking a symbol moving forward. I think it was kind of. I figured it'd be like a rise and fall kind of deal.
Like I don't think it's ever going to interact with her. I think it's going to be those things when she looks up in the sky, it will be there. Like,
well, he asked the ancestors to protect her. So I don't know.
There you go. That's exactly what it could be. Like the ancestors are literally the phoenix is there watching over her as opposed to actually interacting with the story.
Yeah, and it took me a minute too. And I've what was the bad guy's name? He refers to himself as it's like Biao Khan or something like that. And it took me a minute to realize that Khan is a reference to like the Mongolian warlords of old.
Well, the original one was Shao Kahn.
Yeah.
What?
No, it's not Shao Kahn. That's
Mortal Kombat.
Kombat.
No, yeah.
I think it's just Shao.
Fatality. Sorry.
Mulan wins. Does he have a Khan in his name in the original one?
I don't know.
I can't remember. Either way, I think that was a cool nod to.
I'm gonna do some research real quick.
Yeah.
So we. I'm excited for Mulan.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
That's my
book. No, I mean, like I said, it was a good trailer for what it was. It's just one of those things that's out of my wheelhouse.
That makes sense that you wouldn't like kung fu movies since they are basically Asian westerns.
But samurai movies are...
I guess they're along the same... Yeah, samurai movies for sure.
Yeah.
Kung fu movies tend to fall into those tropes as well. Whatever. Shrug life.
Shrug life.
I guess trailer reaction.
Yeah.
Over what else was there?
Strange Academy was announced.
Yeah.
Scotty Young continuing his progression as a writer, this time with Humberto Ramos on art, doing a Magic Academy story set in New Orleans in the Marvel Universe.
Oh, it's in New Orleans?
Yeah, that was a big point of, I guess Scotty had spent some time there and was like, you just feel the magic while you're there, so it made a perfect setting in his mind for where it should be.
So much actual culture, like original culture in New Orleans that it's like one of the best places I feel in America to set stuff.
Right. Yeah. I'm just really happy about this. I was actually joking with my wife how much I wanted a Harry Potter comic book.
I just read the solicit. And that's literally what I have in my notes is like Marvel and Scotty Young want to make Harry Potter.
Yeah, I mean, and rightfully so, which is really weird too, because if you go way back to when Wizard magazine was around, they did like the comics adaptations we want, and they did, one of them was Harry Potter, and they had each of the artists that they chose do a one-shot, like a splash page or a cover for them, and the artist they had chosen for Harry Potter was Humberto Ramos.
Oh, really?
So I'm like, that image stuck in my head, and it's Harry on his broom doing a Quidditch match.
Yeah.
And now seeing him doing the art for a magic story set in the Marvel Universe was just like, wow, this is a weird full circle thing. Hmm. So Ramos is amazing. So I'm really excited about this.
Interesting.
Yeah. Would it be right, cool?
It's Shun Yu. Good. Okay. Fine now. Okay. His name is Shun Yu. I thought it was a con, but no, it's Shun Yu.
Thank you. Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome.
Watches the first 2 minutes of Mulan to get answered.
That's amazing. Wikipedia probably would have been just as fast.
I got it from the source. Like, I'm
good. Yeah, source material, true.
Plus, I got to see the Emperor's advisor talk, and he's always awesome. Hilarious.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Anyways.
But I'm really excited for this title. I've told a couple people about it after finding the news, and so far I think everybody's been pretty happy about it. Especially, like, Scotty Young's really doing a great job as a writer, so.
Yeah. We'll see. For sure. You can tell, like, over the last few years even, like, mm-hmm. how much he's progressed. Like, not saying he started out bad at all, but, like.
Yeah.
It was really, really, like,
kind of. I have a hard time with Mystic Comics, mostly because I don't understand them 85% of the time, because I'm like, I don't read that. So I don't know what we're talking about.
They're introducing all new characters for the kid cast.
I know. So, but it's Doctor Strange is one of those, like, blank areas for me, so I don't understand him as a character.
Do you like you?
Yeah, I like Scotty Young's gonna do a good job. Yeah, he's a great character writer, so you know. And he might even have, like, the best version of Doctor Strange, too. Everyone's going to be like, why isn't this Doctor Strange every Doctor Strange?
Yeah. I think the new one's kind of cool, though. Anyways.
Yeah, I really like the way Doctor Strange has been pretty fun.
Cool, yeah. I've never read a Doctor Strange comic, so.
I've read a couple. The new one was pretty interesting, and it was, like, cosmic and mystic, which is weird. You wouldn't think I liked that, but I liked it.
But then it makes a whole lot of sense, too, like, the way.
Yeah, I was like, am I drunk?
And then you got some other news for us, then, Patrick?
Yeah, I guess sticking in the comics realm, but moving on to DC, they just announced the creative teams for Wonder Woman 750.
I don't know any of this, so this is the first time I've heard it.
Okay, so there will be 9 creative teams on it. And they include, and this will be in writer-artist, respectively.
Okay.
For all of them, it'll be Steve Orlando and Jesus Marion.
Jesus Marino, right?
Marino, sorry, yeah, I got my vowels mixed up there. Greg Rucka and Nicholas Scott.
Yeah, Wonder Woman Year One team.
Yay, Gail Simone and Colleen Doran.
I
don't know who Colleen Doran is.
I don't know who that is either.
Marguerite Bennett and Laura Braga.
Hey, that's gonna work.
I don't know, she's Laura Braga, who's the one I'm not sure about her art yet.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Scott Snyder and Brian Hitch.
Why really? Brian Hitch? Why?
But Scott Snyder.
I know.
Next one for me is, yes, Mariko Tamaki and Elena Casagrande.
I don't know Casagrande.
Mm-mm.
I don't know her either, but Mariko Tamaki, hell fucking yes. And next we have Kami Garcia and Phil Hester.
I'm down. That sounds great.
The next one is a 3-way team with Shannon Hale, Dean Hale, and Riley Rossmo.
I don't know who the Hales are, but Riley Rossmo will be enough for me.
Yeah. And then the last one, I'm unfamiliar with both of them, is Vita Ayala and Amansi Nahuelpan.
There's Nahuelpan? A little bit of disappointment because there's one sorry person about that, I didn't Nancy. Hear.
Yeah. Who did you not hear?
Brian Azzarello.
Oh, yeah.
That makes me sad.
I didn't think about that omission.
That was the first thought I had. I was like, Brian Azzarello
and Chang. Also, no George Perez.
It's true.
I was hoping for some G Willow. But,
I assumed as much.
But I'm still happy with all this. Yeah. They got Mariko on there, and I'm like, all right.
Riley Rossmo, that is the name that stands out to me.
Well, I'm really interested to see how Marguerite Bennett does, especially considering I was sad the last time I read something.
Yeah.
Followed by her Power Rangers run.
I'm excited for Steve Orlando's run on it, too.
Yeah. I love Steve Orlando.
Yeah.
So all Orlando. 10 covers, please.
Okay.
I have all 10 covers of Superman, all 10 covers of Batman, and now all 10 covers of Wonder Woman.
I feel sad, though, that it's only at 750 and Bats and Soups have already reached 1,000.
I really, really would like them to go back to being monthly comic books, so I'm totally okay with it just being 750.
I'm right there with you. I'm like, well, she's my favorite of the Trinity, and so however they do it, I keep doing it however you guys do it, because it's... Or gals, or whatever. Alt people.
Beetlejuice didn't do anything. He's not doing anything either. But then again, he usually does groups. Sorry. Anyways, tangent. She's been really good in, Justice League Dark. What am I talking about?
No idea.
So I figured it out. We're good.
Cool. Well, I guess we have a little bit of time to talk about a episode of streaming TV shows.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about, is it just called Harley Quinn?
Uh-huh. It's just Harley Quinn.
So DC Universe animated series, Harley Quinn, episode 1. I have to say, from the beginning, Titans burned me a little bit, so I dropped DC Universe. That's my own personal thing. But I did watch the first episode with these lovely people right here. Yeah, so.
Kat and I basically shoved in his face.
Yeah.
And I love animation, so it was a soft shove.
Yeah, soft shove, exactly.
I will just say this. If you watched Hayley Cuoco as Penny in The Big Bang Theory, it's a little weird to hear her saying the F word. It's the one thing that still is like a small... I'm like...
Yeah, I've never seen a full episode of that show. Oh, I like that. And refused to, so...
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. It's got some funny stuff in there.
But yeah, it's just... Once the mustard stain of him being in what was it? If Superman got a mustard stain on his suit while he was in... Bottle City.
In Kandor,
would you be able to get it out at a dry cleaner? What do you have to do? And I'm like, alright, you know what? I don't want to admit that might come up in something I talk about. Anyways, but it's still weird to hear her talk and saying swear words. It's just odd.
I think that you bring up swear words, and I still say that is... That there's an element of this is trying too hard for me that I was hoping I wouldn't feel that when watching the episode, but I think... Fuck is the second or third word spoken, and then the fifth word spoken, and then the ninth word spoken. So it's like, layoff, we get it's R-rated. There's so much violence in there, there's no way this wasn't going to be R-rated. And I actually don't think the language is unwarranted in several other parts, but I think it's trying too hard. I think there's a lot of natural conversation that has the cursing in it that works for me, but there was a lot in this episode where it's like, wow, please stop dropping the F-bomb.
I'd agree with that. There's, especially in the opening sequence, I feel like they sort of lay off it a little bit later on, but it really opens up with like the most gratuitous language and violence of everything I've seen in a while.
The other half of me is also like, were they just making a point? They're like, by the way, don't let your kids watch this. Here's 2 minutes of you watching this, because I know you're only watching 2 minutes of this.
Yeah.
The rest of the show.
That's still one of my favorite jokes in the opening scene. He's just like, let's all admire this giant stack, or my fellow whites, let's admire this giant stack of money we got from our favorite pastime, fucking the poor.
Yeah. I was like, wow, this is going for it.
Yeah.
Is it weird tonally? Because the show is like the R-rated Batman Brave and the Bold.
It's a fair statement.
I think it's really funny, though. Actually, I really enjoy the episode overall, but I do have mixed feelings on, tone and, pushing tone too far. But you make a good point. Like, maybe this is, a pilot episode to be we don't want you having me sitting down with your kids to watch this.
I think, honestly, just from the first 2 minutes of it, part of me feels that way, because the first 2 minutes of it, I was like, all right, you might have gone a little... The language is... And then as you continue to watch, I'm like, oh, no, this is befitting. Because when I watch a plant throw up a kid...
Yeah. I mean, in the opening scene alone, we hear, fuck at least 10 times. We see her snap a guy's leg in half. The Joker dissolves multiple people with acid.
Yeah. Oh, that was gross, too.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll go on... It'll stop hurting in a minute. You'll go under shot.
Yeah.
There it is.
That was funny.
And then I think there's a line in Poison Ivy had, too, where I think it's, a good version of the cursing when she's just like... She's like, I wanted to show this to you, and I spent my whole Saturday setting up something this fucking stupid.
As the episode progressed, the way the language was spoken was much more natural. Where it's like, you know, people are like, ah, oh, fuck. You know, like, it's not like...
So this is going to sound like a weird
she
fuck.
Fucks bats.
that was a little over the... It was funny, but I was like, oh my god, again, they're just dropping the F-bombs.
As sure as I am that he fucks bats, Joker is going to break me out of Arkham 6 months later.
Yeah. I mean, and I think the other part of it is, too, is I think this is the first time that Hayley Cuoco is also voice acting.
I don't know that that's true. I thought she did some video game stuff.
Video games are different, though, than, like, an animated series.
Well, yeah, I mean, but voice acting is different. Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know, but that's... What would that have to do with the writing?
It's not necessarily the writing. I wonder if it's partly her delivery as well. Because that's the other half of it, too, is with Poison Ivy, when she swears, doesn't register.
Right.
But when she does, and like I said, I think from the fact of being on the Big Bang Theory, it makes me more aware of it, because I'm not used to that voice saying that word. And then on top of that, her delivery is a little... She's not bad. She's not terrible. And right. For doing this as, like, a first thing, and her being the star of the show, she's doing excellent. Because, unfortunately for her, her co-star tried to do Harley Quinn, and it was fucking awful. Yeah. I hate being that way, because that's, like, she plays my favorite character in The Big Bang Theory. But I think...
I didn't think about her being the voice until you said it actually just now. I was like, oh yeah, that's Hayley Cuoco.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, which is good, because I don't want to be conscious of the voice actors, because they are only, you know, 20% of an animated performance.
Oh no, totally.
So.
And I think, like I said, I think part of it might be her delivery, because when Poison Ivy talks, I'm just like, it's just like a conversation. Yeah. And I think whoever plays Poison Ivy, I think has more acting experience too than Hayley Cuoco. But she just seems a lot, like, her delivery, like, for, because when she swears, it's, like, a lot more attention-focused for me. Mm-hmm. But when Poison Ivy's talking and she's swearing, it's usually just,
She's actually done a lot of voice acting.
Really?
Who?
Yeah.
Hayley Cuoco.
Hayley Cuoco has done a lot of voice acting.
Nice.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah, I wonder if she...
Oh, my God, was she the little...
She was Eleanor?
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
I wonder if she, like, improvised a lot of that, too, or, like, doing a lot of, like, the... Now that you're mentioning...
I think you guys are fucking giving her too much. I honestly think it's the writers were trying to overwrite the sequence.
Yeah.
To me, it seems...
It's just hard for me, because, like, when I compare my comparison to Poison Ivy and when she swears, it doesn't really... register.
I'm also like that bodes very negatively for the series, because you were recognizing the voice, so that's a bad performance, and that's actually like something like that shouldn't happen in animation. You shouldn't register the voice actor. You might have that passing thought, but the moment you do, it shouldn't register. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that it's a badly produced. Moment.
That's an unfair statement, because I just have it so readily in my head that it's Hayley Cuoco, because I've been watching her talk about her role.
Although I've been rewatching Community as well, and the Riddler being voiced by Jim Rash and also being like essentially the same character from Community, I could not get that out of my head because, you know, skinny, bald guy that's like over the top.
Oh
like,
my
with
god,
all of his
is
stuff.
That who that is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just so many weird things.
He's the
in,
Dean.
He was in Phil of the Future, too.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He was in what?
Phil of the Future.
That's a show I haven't heard of in a long time.
Yeah.
That's
He's
weird.
The Dean.
He's
and
the
Riddler. Riddle me this. What's cold but burns? Acid. It's acid.
Wait, did we get to the point where it was what? Cold and
yes.
Burns?
Yeah. It's acid.
I told you to get a Costco card.
That was funny.
I told you I only go there once a year, so it doesn't pay for itself.
It's so cheap.
Yeah, I had to watch it the first time. I was like, what in God's name is this show? And I had to do a second viewing specifically to go back for, like, the jokes. Because I was like, it was hilarious, but I don't remember why it was hilarious.
I had to do the same thing, because I watched it with Andy. I watched it with Andy, and then I watched it a second time, and I was like, what the fuck did I just watch?
Maybe they should release on a weekly schedule.
Yeah.
so people can rewatch it and enjoy it and pick things out more. I don't know. We had a conversation about that, but whatever.
And then I also watched it a third time because I wanted to do, like, a thematic viewing, too, because there's a lot of, like, really deep cut, like, relationship and social issues.
Just text me.
That was one of those things that, like, and you've complained about this a lot, where people are like, oh, I wish I had the relationship.
Oh, my God!
And this is like, you now have this to be like, I'm going to sit you down for 30 minutes and show you why you're wrong and just sit this episode in
it's
front
like
of them.
It's not even 30 minutes. It's like 20.
Yeah.
I don't even mean 30.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, it just exemplifies, like, the Joker is, like, gaslighting her constantly.
Yeah.
And, like, making her, like, oh, that's such a great idea that you just had that you should come back to me and stuff. Like,
This is going to get disgusting. You might want to leave. I'm like,
also gross. And they're, like, making out. This is, like, a giant, like,
saliva. Nasty.
Yeah.
I think I feel pretty positive about that, though. Especially, like, now talking through it. There's so much good in the episode that I almost forgive the over-the-top language, which I'm really interested in seeing now, episode two, like, if whether or not your theory is correct about putting so much forward to be like, this is not for children, so,
yeah,
like, here's the first 2 minutes, get your kid out of the room now.
That's kind of my thought process with a lot of it, because, like, everybody's like, you know, Ryan Reynolds is like, this is not for children.
Yeah.
This is not for children. This is not for children. And I'm like, okay, so, like, you know, in the first 2 minutes of the second Deadpool, he blows himself up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, in the first 2 minutes of Harley Quinn, she's dropping the F-bomb, and he's throwing, and he rips a fucking face off.
Yeah.
An actual face!
That, to me, was one of the most disturbingly funny things I have seen in a long time.
Yeah, when he's just like...
When he's like, oh, I had to puppeteer it. I was like, that is, I don't know, it must have been interesting seeing my face as, like, the episode was progressing, because there's...
Oh, I almost threw up a couple times. Like, the dude who throws up when he rips the face off, I'm like, my stomach hurts.
I legitimately had my hands on my head, just watching with my jaw agape, because I wasn't sure I was this was actually happening.
Right.
Like, and there was a good 5 minutes, I think, that I sat like that with that position of what the hell is this?
And it's funny too, because his whole speech right there is like such a great summary of the show. Like, it's hilarious, it's disturbing as shit, and it's also like, he's such a fucking dick to her. Like, really. He's just like, she's like, come on, I was, you know, gonna do this. And he's just like, oh, do you expect me to not use his face to volunteer? Come on, that's what you love about me.
Yeah.
He's like,
and they're just like, oh,
I have a thing
God,
tonight,
gross.
So it won't be tonight, but definitely tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not gonna, you won't spend one night in Arkham. Actually, yeah, not, maybe one night, but.
You can remember Porn Clown.
Yeah.
That was great.
Calendar Man was like,
no wonder your dad's remember your birthday.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Ivy. It's been 185 days.
I also like the fact that, like, the henchmen in this are literally just Star Trek red shirts. Like,
they are
just going to be blown to smithereens.
Yeah, they're literally just there to die.
Yeah.
Like, come on, babe, I'm an agent of chaos. That's what you love about me.
Wow. Dude, man, was that a fuck you at fans. Boy, was that like, oh yeah, you want the Heath Ledger joking? Fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that was literally like, that felt so much like what you expect from this show is not going to be what you get. This is going to be off the walls.
Which, this is actually kind of exactly what I was
expecting.
Hoping for, to be honest. Like,
I mean, everything. Commissioner Gordon was...
Oh, my God.
Commissioner Gordon was depressing.
Your cancer, Quinn. You spread Gotham's lymph nodes. Hopefully you won't get to the bladder.
And on the chemo.
I'm pretty sure they suggest that he's drunk, too, because when he says top shelf liquor, he kind of, like, swings his mug a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I'm pretty
people
sure.
Live, people die.
Oh, like, so he's, like, he's just drinking scotch in his coffee cup. The whole time.
They say they're all inclusive, but they make you pay for the towels, the soap, the top shelf liquor.
Dude,
oh my
amazing.
God, he's like the bags that go down to his cheekbones and like his 5 o'clock shadow.
The most important thing about an actor playing Commissioner Gordon is they have to just look really tired.
No, this guy literally looks like he's never slept in his life.
Yeah.
I honestly thought he was going to be in like his bathrobe and slippers when he was talking.
I'm not going to lie, after discussing this, I'm like, we should just forgo reviews and watch episode two.
Yeah, I'm having a barbecue this weekend. Do you want to come over?
No.
Ha ha ha.
Diedrich Bader Batman.
Oh my god. It's not acid. Actually acid, it's just margarita mix. It's still pretty stingy.
Oh man. Yeah. Wow, that turned out to be fun.
I just want to crawl back in there. It's not actually acid.
It's not, once again, not acid, so it doesn't really apply. Yeah, I love her just like, it's the classic like, straight man, funny man relation too with Ivy and Harley.
I'm pretty sure this is going to be a love story between Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn too, which I'm not upset by anything because at the same time that's normal and that's how it's been because she's best line in that movie still described. She's like, you know, I'm not, you know, you taught me to be around people and it's okay. I still fucking hate it, but I
that I actually laughed out loud. I actually missed the next line. I was laughing so hard.
I think. It opened up with like really about toxic relationships. So if they do go into a relationship, they're gonna make it like slow and nice and all that good stuff.
Just text me.
Yes. Anyway.
On that note,
yeah, episode 2 is out today, so I'm definitely gonna at some point watch this. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, with that, I guess
as long as you're over 18.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. Anyway, well, bye.
After.